Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on May 9th, 2011. May we please have a roll call vote?
Mr. Dinkov?
Here.
Ms. Kresty?
Here.
Mr. Freda?
Here.
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Ms. Gregory?
Here.
Ms. Hofig?
Here.
Mr. Kaplan?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis?
Here.
Ms. Sullivan?
Here.
We have a quorum and may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to ask everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Before we proceed with the superintendent's report, I just wanted to take a minute. In the past, we've had a practice at the Clinton Township Board of Education to go over the New Jersey School Board's Code of Ethics. We had a meeting about a month ago with the representative from New Jersey School Boards, and one of the main objectives of that meeting was to go over the Code of Ethics. There are 10, what they refer to as facets, that comprise the Code of Ethics. And what I would like the board to do in future meetings is to concentrate on one of the 10 facets on the Code of Ethics, read it to the other board members, and just to spend a short period of time discussing that particular facet of the Code of Ethics. And I would like to start that practice tonight. And I have a copy of the Code of Ethics in front of me. And I will read number 4 and briefly discuss it, its meaning to me. Number 4 says, I will carry out my responsibilities, not to administer the schools, but together with my fellow board members to see that they are well run. Right? What that means to me is, as a board member, our Board of Education, I believe, has a responsibility to set policy and set procedures for our school district. I don't believe we should, and I think the State Board of Education indicates that board members not get involved in the everyday running of the school. That's why we pay a superintendent, that's why we pay our administrators and our teachers to be involved in the everyday running of the school. I would further suggest that we have a certain chain of command in the schools, similar to what they have in the service, although I have never been in the service myself. But as a board member, if a parent comes to you with a concern or a complaint, I think we have a responsibility to indicate to that parent or community member to go to the source. If they're complaining about a certain thing that a teacher said or did, I would indicate to them to go to the teacher and to try to work it out with the teacher. If that's something that they've already done and have not received satisfaction, then suggest to them that they go see the building principal. If after talking to the building principal, they're still not satisfied with how a particular thing might be resolved, then they can go to the superintendent of the schools. Coming to the Board of Education should be almost like a last resort. There is a chain of command. You go to the teacher first, then the building principal, then the superintendent. And again, if it hasn't been resolved, then possibly to the Board of Education. All right? So again, our responsibility is to set policy and procedures, not get involved in the everyday running of the school. I've given Mr. Sturgis a copy, another copy. We've all received copies of the Code of Ethics. And I've asked him to select one for the July 25th Board of Education meeting. So my intent is to continue this practice through the coming months. Thank you. Mr. Carroll, superintendent's report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Dinkoff. I'd just like to start off and thank Mr. Paul Tripolis, our assistant director of technology, for our new and improved recording and amplification system. He designed it and set it up himself and has been doing it ever since for us. So thank you, Mr. Tripolis. On the enrollment report and suspensions, as stated to the board, 1,678 students, 50 less than last year. Only one suspension in fifth grade, 2-day out of school suspension for violent behavior. Under student achievement, I have kindergarten schedule. This is something I put before the board, would like their approval on it this evening. This really was a culmination of a discussion I had with Mrs. Goad, talking about the possibility of moving towards a full day kindergarten. I'd asked her to just entertain the discussion with her staff, saying, what if we had more time? What could we do? Because I'd really like to utilize the school choice funding to possibly move towards a full day kindergarten for the school district. So in discussion with the kindergarten teachers, they started to talk about what could we do with extra time and expand their program. So Mrs. Goad brought that back to me and said, what could we do? And I said, well, let's look at how we can find time. Let's find it in the middle of the day when we do our bus run. So I had had them reach out to, Mrs. Goad reach out to our Educational Services Commission that does our transportation, said, is it feasible, instead of picking up the AM, dropping them off, and then picking up the PM, and then coming back, could you reverse that and pick up the PM first, bring them to school, drop them off, and then pick up the AM at the same time, eliminating a bus run, plus saving us what amounts to an hour's more time, a half an hour for AM and PM kindergarten. They said, absolutely, we can get that done. Mrs. Goad brought that back to the teachers, and the teachers were elated and said, this is what we can do. So instead of having a lunch prep in the middle of the day, that time is going to be fulfilled during an actual special for AM kindergarten students and an actual special for PM students. Right now, with the expanded Unified Arts, they were only getting 15 minutes AM and PM. Now they will get a full special period, which will be one lunch and one prep for our teachers. And therefore, the midday run could be that instantaneous drop-off pickup, saving, adding an extra hour to the program. So that's before the board right now, this evening for kindergarten. As well, we have two positions for PE. This is something that I asked the board to look at. This year's budget, we through scheduling, we cut two PE positions, one from the middle school and one from Round Valley, and backfilled those positions into Patrick McGarren and Spruce Run. And with the help of, again, school choice, we'd be able to refund those positions and bring the T model 4 through 8 back to its full potential, which is to have another rotation of health for Round Valley, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, and another rotation of what is called fitness here at CTMS. One of the things that it will do is it will free up the librarian and the enrichment teacher here at CTMS. They had filled the void of fitness in the 36-day rotation cycle of Unified Arts, where there's a breakout for 7th graders and 8th graders that used to go to fitness, had to have another offering to go to. For 7th grade, it was an enrichment class based on current events and debate, and for 8th graders, it was a literacy class culminating in reading buddy activities with our students in Spruce Run with our 8th graders. Those two activities will still continue. Current events and debate for 7th and 8th graders is the hope by Mrs. Cormican. And reading buddies for 7th and 8th graders along with world language buddies that the world language team is already doing with our Spruce Run students here. But it would free up those that librarian and enrichment teacher to do just that. So that's what is before the board. Just an update on the challenges. Some of the discussion and feedback from parents and students, for those who did not meet their challenge, said it would be easier for them to do reading as well. So the principals and I are discussing how to do that. Most likely what we'll do is do a percentage, how many hours read by percentage number of students in the building, and then work out the challenges that way so that there would be benchmarks, and with the hopefully with the input of PTA Foundation and our very generous business alliance, we'd be able to have incentives for the schools that win by each month and a culminating activity for the school that wins for the year.
Mr. Carroll.
Yes.
Please excuse me. Before we go any further, I know that there had been some questions about the physical education positions. So my thinking was, rather than go through your entire report.
Stop as we go? Absolutely, sir.
If any of the board members have questions or concerns, I'm looking particularly at the phys ed, two phys ed positions.
We can go back and just say anything with the kindergarten schedule, and then.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll.
Sure. So any board member have a question regarding kindergarten schedule? Yeah. Yes, Mrs. Sullivan.
Do we have a identified cost for expanding that day?
It's actually a savings because of the bus run.
So we, with what you mentioned about using the specials teacher to cover the lunch and prep period, there's no additional
costs? No, they wouldn't be covering, they're actually going to be doing lunch. Instead of a 15-minute special that the children get, it will now be a full 40-minute special.
Okay.
So that it would actually cover a lunch in AM or PM. The teacher could decide which is their lunch and which is their prep.
Okay.
So it would not be a cost. It would actually be, for Mrs. Goad, a reworking of the schedule for our Unified Arts team, which is a full team there.
Okay, that's just what I wanted to check if there
were. But it would be a savings because of the one less bus run.
Okay, thank you.
How does this kindergarten program, the extension of the day, fit into the overall plan of the district and all the overall priorities of what our children need?
I believe the especially coming from the teachers, the ability to have more time on task in the classroom, an extra 30 minutes of
But relative to all the other needs of our children in our entire district, I mean, where does this fall, an extra 30 minutes, you know, for a section of kindergarten versus all the other needs that we might have? Is that did you do an assessment on whether that money is better spent someplace else? And what
money? There's not going to be any money that is expended. It's going to be money saved because of the bus run. So the 30 minutes is really free and clear, and it's more teaching time.
But did you say a few moments ago it came from school choice money? Or
that's if we go to full-day kindergarten.
If you go to full-day kindergarten.
Yes, that's what I would envision this program possibly becoming, full-day kindergarten.
And
research will show the more time on task, the lower in early literacy, the better off our children are as the years go out.
And does this have to be negotiated into the teacher's contract? Does it already fall into the structure that's there?
It would absolutely fall into the structure. The only thing and going back to the idea of cost, if we went to a full-day kindergarten, we obviously would have to hire more kindergarten staff.
Right, but extending the day by 30 minutes in both sections, does that
happen? As long as the teachers get their contractual lunch and prep, which this would allow for, they would be able to do that, yes.
Okay.
And again, the teachers were the ones who helped structure the day in this way.
I have one, Kevin, on the phys ed health position.
Yes.
I remember in the fall, we talked several times about eliminating those positions. That was part of a larger plan to allow other teachers to push in to the classrooms for unified arts support, I thought.
That's for Spruce Run and Patrick McGarren, Mr. Sturgis, where that is still occurring.
But was that tied? Wasn't that tied to eliminating those two PE teachers?
That was to backfill a full-time position in, two things happened. One, to backfill a full-time position in Spruce Run. Yes, that occurred. But the other one was because of trying to meet the needs of the budget. That was just moving forward, that was one of the positions that we had to give up so we can meet the constraints of the budget that we were creating for this year.
I didn't think that was a budget-driven plan. I thought that was part of an overall instructional plan to create different types of. We were moving them from phys ed positions to unified arts positions to create more unified
for the
arts.
For the lower group, yes, we were creating a full cadre of professionals in both schools, Bruce Run and Patrick McGarren, and therefore the time with the extra staff would allow them to support the learning in the classroom. But yes, there was some of that was taken away from Round Valley in the way of that extra health person, which now has to be split between two people instead of three. And then again, one of the rotations here, which we backfilled with a librarian and an enrichment teacher.
And that's failing, that's not working?
Those two programs are working, but I'd rather free up, because specifically what the librarian is doing for eighth grade literacy support, because she is tied down for two periods doing it for eighth grade, she can't do it for all seventh graders. But if I free her back up, she could. And the same thing with enrichment. We find that the ability for our children to do current events and debate goes a long way, again, with literacy. But because she's tied up doing it for only seventh graders for two periods, she's not available to all eighth graders. So this will free them up, as well as bring back that fitness model, which we're not out of compliance with the number of safety health minutes that we have to have. But I think moving forward and speaking with the PE and health teachers with the pre-K to eight, they're calling it a portfolio of wellness that they want to create. This would tie into it, because a lot of times it's our middle school children that we lose for fitness, nutrition, because they think, oh, if I'm out on a team, why bother getting in shape?
It would help me, like these two positions coming back. I was surprised to see them come back, but I'm wondering, does that tie in, or should it tie into like an overall larger staffing plan? Like if we knew that we shorted these two positions, and if we had the funding, we would restore them, it would have made more sense to me. Is there a larger staffing plan? Are there other positions that are vacant now that we cut that we want to add back?
The only ones that I can think of that I would like to continue to grow are enrichment and literacy support. We have literacy support for reading, and we're just starting to touch upon math, but our math scores are very good, but I don't want to say that we're going to ignore that. So we were able to grow one of the positions in fifth grade through our Title I funds to bring somebody in part-time. And with school choice again, I would like to see that we possibly bring somebody full-time and then continue to grow with those extra funds.
But does anyone else agree with regard to a staffing plan? I mean, I would feel more comfortable if there was a staffing plan and we discussed removing someone from the staffing plan for budget reasons, and then the plan to add somebody back with revenue coming in. I think that would be a good way to manage the hiring and movement of positions. Does anyone else have a similar opinion?
Well, I agree too. I mean, there should be an overall vision for the district that's supported by a staffing plan and supported by development plan and things of that nature, so that you know exactly where you're going. And, you know, for now, is PE more important than literacy report support in the younger grades, when we've done an okay job here and in RBS fixing it? Are the needs for literacy support, knowing that our NJS scores aren't where they should be in reading, writing, and comprehension, in the lower grades?
The idea here was to start with the freeing up, you know, with the librarian and the enrichment teacher coming up with some great programs that can be afforded to all children. The way we do that is to bring fitness back. And to me, in a sense of equity, if we're going to bring fitness back here, we should bring back that health position over at Round Valley, so it gives my principals the ability to schedule the way that they need to. And then building from there with the school choice funds, we can definitely come up with a plan of where we want to implement support, be it literacy or enrichment.
And Kevin, if you move the enrichment teacher and the librarian back to the positions that you're suggesting, and you didn't refill the PE teacher and fitness model, or do we not have enough minutes that we need by a legal standard?
We are covered by the minutes, Grace, but we still need someone here to do that 36-day rotation. There are certain push-outs for Unified Arts. We have art during that time, ComTech, life skills. I'm trying to figure the other two. It's one of five that we need for there. Health is the other one, sorry. And then the other one was fitness. But because we lost fitness, to make that schedule whole, you need a fifth person doing something. So we looked at different things, literacy being one of them, but we're looking at other options for literacy that's going to, again, support children all year long, not just a 36-day cycle. So either way, if I'm going to free up the librarian, who is also a former language arts teacher, and our enrichment teacher, I need to be able to backfill what they're doing for me for seventh and eighth grade here at the middle school with someone else. And that's why I thought the simple idea was to bring back fitness. And therefore, it would bring the team model back to where it was, and then we can build off of that.
I mean, those, as far as what I understand with the middle school model, that position here doesn't create the middle school model itself. I mean, the other six components of the middle school model are here, and that's what keeps it vibrant. From what I understand, those positions were the ones that had the most free periods for teachers where they weren't interacting with children. And so, you know, again, back to Kevin's point, is there a staffing plan and a vision for where we're going and how we're going to staff it and fill it?
Just so, you can't do the middle school model unless you have that those five 36-day cycles, because there is a two-period unified arts for 7th grade and 8th grade. And you need someone to fill one of those periods. Otherwise, it's an empty space. And then instead of teachers being able to have preparatory time and a planning time, someone would be teaching during their planning time. So it still fulfills the needs of the team model. But, as far as the overall plan going out, I'm meeting with the leadership team next week, 3 days. We're doing our own administrative retreat, and that's something that we're going to be talking about moving forward, other staffing needs, and whether or not we can make use of the school choice funds that we thought we were getting next year that we're actually getting this year.
Well, can we wait until you have your meeting so we can find out what the whole needs are of the district and then prioritize them before making this decision?
If the board would like to wait, absolutely, they can wait. I'm just trying to make what we had from the year before whole again, so that's where we start from. Where were we in 2009, 2010. We were behind.
When I looked over the agenda on Thursday, when we met to go over the agenda, under Personnel and Negotiations Committee, there was a recommendation for one of the two physical education positions to be hired tonight. Is there a recommendation for both positions?
Yes, there is.
All right, and what are you suggesting, Maria, that we hold off?
I think Michelle and I talked a little bit about this too the other day, to just get an overall plan of what our needs are, and then see how these two positions fit in that overall plan. Because right now it's just piecemeal. And I think I agree with Kevin about a plan. And if you're gonna have a retreat next week that's gonna identify staffing plans for however you do it, 6 months, a year, 18 months, 2 years, then I would suggest we hold off on that, table those two, and leave it until we have, you know, a complete plan from you.
Right. And the first step, Maria, again, would be bring us back to where we were as far as those two positions. And that was my idea tonight. We did the career fair. We went through the candidates, a rigorous interview process. We found people we know would be a good fit for us, and that would bring us back to whole, and then we could build off of that. But if the board would like to table this, and I will add this into the discussion I have with the administrators next week.
My only concern about tabling it is if we have two outstanding candidates, two people that we really like, and then we wait until the administrators have had an opportunity to meet, and we don't meet again until July 25th, if these are outstanding candidates, we might lose them to another district.
When was the job fair?
Last week.
Didn't we have the recommendation on these hires prior to that?
To fill the positions, but not for the particular individuals.
Right.
Correct.
When is the administrative retreat?
Next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5th through the 7th.
I don't know. I think since the retreat is so imminent, it's not like it's months from now, it's days. I think prudence just says we may as well hold off. Seems like the stars in the right alignment. Why don't we just talk to our principals and see have them make a list of what they think they need.
That's fine.
And we can recommend, we can advise these people. Have they been given any information?
That I would be making a recommendation to the board this evening.
All right, I think that it's very reasonable that the board would wait to the administrative retreat, and I think that those people can understand that if they're reasonable people.
Is that the consensus of the majority of the board?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Michelle?
All right.
So when it comes time for the Personnel and Negotiations Committee, I'm assuming those two resolutions are in there for the individuals to be hired. So we would have to withdraw those resolutions.
And would that be the health person as well?
Yes.
So that's three.
No, just that one PE.
And one health?
One health, yes.
Okay, so that is items PN 247. Are those the two?
Yes.
And then, are we in agreement that if it's the consensus of our administrative group that we do need those two positions, you can contact them, Mr. Carroll?
Yes, I will have the principals contact them tomorrow.
And that they would be, at least we can indicate to them that superintendent has the power to hire before we have another board meeting, and then it would have to be confirmed by the board. Are we in agreement that if the administrative team indicates that these two positions are needed, that we can contact the individuals and tell them that that the positions will be in the budget for next year?
After completion of development of the staffing plan?
Well, I don't know how long a comprehensive plan like that would take to develop.
No, that's what we were agreeing.
We'll have a plan for the board next week.
Next week?
Yes.
Well, okay.
We're taking 3 days to do certain items to get us started. I think a staffing plan would be something that we could complete.
How far out do you think that plan will go?
I would like to say, with school choice being the way it is, and the extrapolating the possible funding for at least the next 3 years, because we not only have to fund the positions that we have, we may move things around as we grow.
Okay, can we move on? Principals and superintendents' challenges?
Just talked about the items there and how we're moving to a reading challenge for everyone across the district. Under productive citizens, a reminder to the board. These are two areas, Kiwanis Club of North Hunter and Clinton, and the Clinton Sunrise Rotary Club, that are great organizations for resources for us. Our teachers do a wonderful job already at each grade level doing in-service work, and this would be a great relationship to foster for this coming year, starting with our middle school. Mr. Rebeck is working on that for us, and then growing the program down to kindergarten, because they would support everything that we do already, so hand in hand, a lot of the work would just be enhanced with their networking ability, with their funding ability. So from my discussions with both clubs and organizations through their budget process, they said no one in Hunterdon County is currently making use of them. So I said, we absolutely will. So we will be the start, and hopefully be the model for the rest of the county. Under a supportive environment, we got our energy audit in. Let me just get to my notes. I was a little saddened by the fact that the overall energy cost savings was at 8%. I was hoping for a little bit more, and I felt that the engineers may have missed a few things that I think were pretty common sense. There was no discussion of our value in our buildings, our roofing, our windows, nothing about flushless urinals or anything like that for water savings. What they have there, and I sent to the board, they suggest lighting upgrades for more efficient lights, lighting controls just like we have in the middle school, modify our thermostat set points, upgrade AC equipment in Spruce Run and at Patrick McGarren, replace some of the motors at Patrick McGarren for the AC. Interestingly enough, the dishwasher and booster heater upgrade, it's a 26-year-old appliance, and they believe that we should upgrade that. That's at Patrick McGarren. Upgrades and replacements at all facilities with the rest of the AC units These are the single units that you'll see at some of the windows. Boiler control upgrades at Spruce Run. RTU demand control ventilation here at the middle school. That goes along with the set points. That's how air is pushed into the rooms and when. And then simple things that we can do on our own as far as maintenance and operation measures. Clean our condensers and evaporator coils periodically. Maintain weather stripping between entrance doors. If you notice some of the doors like RVS, there is a mullion piece there that is degraded after a while, so you can actually see if you're on the inside looking out, daylight, you shouldn't be able to. Clean all the light fixtures to maximize our light output. And of course, outside of the savings, they have suggested that we do solar. So my understanding moving forward, and Mrs. Lenhardt, you can jump in, is that this energy audit was paid for by a grant from the state. And if we enact any of these suggestions, there's a possibility that we can get half the payment back if we're still within the funding period. Is that correct?
What's going to happen with this is I just spoke to them today, and we were trying to set up the exit conference where we'll get the remaining information and implementation of ideas. They didn't want to have that, though, until TRC, which is the unit of the government that oversees the energy audits. They have to do a final review of the draft. That's expected to take one more week. Upon completion of TRC approval, then Concord Engineering will come back out, meet with our district, and then we'll have a lot more information. Okay.
Thank you, Mrs. Lenhardt.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yes.
The half that we might get back is for the audit, not for the
No, full audit paid.
The $32,000 for the audit is 100% paid.
Yeah, the half is for the work that is done. And they suggest, which I agree with, we look at the cross-section of what we want to get done, compile that into one RFP and see who goes back at it, so possibly that will be a cost savings. And then we could possibly get the other half of that paid for. We would pay half of it, and the state would pay the other.
It looked like in their report that they had called out the state subsidies of the improvements as part of their analysis. And it was not near a half.
Well, that's, and maybe that will go with the
answer. And the grid of the cost had multiple errors in it. I actually wasn't going to distribute it because I thought it was not its finest moment. So I just got it late this afternoon, supposedly cleaned up, but I haven't been able to review it.
It looked, I was surprised at how small it was actually. I think it was called the Smart Grant, but it's like less than 10% or 15% of the total recommended improvement by building.
Right, it used to be half.
Let's see what they say when they come out. They expect to be able to call to make the appointment in about a week.
What is the process going forward to decide which of these measures we'll implement and which we won't?
That would be after our exit interview with them, Mark. That's exactly what I would, through the Finance Facilities Committee, make a recommendation.
Okay. So we'll have to go through
and see if there is a cost savings. But right now, at 8%, I don't know. To me, what we are look to do with our RFP for solar would be better savings. And then we could apply that back to some of these ideas.
Some of them seem fairly easy and sensible, like upgrading the bulbs and the fluorescent fixtures with a four-year payback. Right. As long as you can fund the upfront. Right. Amount.
Some are much more extensive capital.
Some are 40 years.
With 40 years.
And, you know, in many of the ways, Kevin, I think the easier way, though it's a little more burden on our staff, you do it through, you know, attrition. As lights go out, you condense them into one room and you upgrade another room.
Yeah,
we're not just throwing out good bulbs.
Motion sensors and bulbs, that seems to be the most of a no-brainer of anything on the report.
Low-hanging fruit. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Kevin, has the impact of implementing any of this or all of this impact what we would get back from implementing solar? So, you know, we get back X if we go with solar now, right, over the 15-year period. But if we implement some of this and save electricity and money, does that minimize what we get back in what
that
we would,
you know, solar? That actually came up in Kevin Santabrino's PowerPoint presentation to us, saying he didn't shoot for 100% energy savings because he believes energy audits like this will save us 15%. What we saw instead was 8%. So we're missing a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm hoping, just as Kevin and Mark discussed, anything we do is going to be a savings over time.
Yeah,
just how we roll it out.
He did factor that into his
I'm sorry,
recommendation on size. And it's in their report too, as far as their projected impact of solar per building.
Right. It's a good point though, because if the solar had hit 100% usage and then you had savings, you would right. actually be overbuilt in solar, and since you can't sell that back, that would obviously be wasted.
Right, right.
So that's
yeah,
that's
but
true.
One of the factors
he has to take into account.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's a good point.
Can the public hear in the back? Can you hear everything that's being said? John? All right, we'll ask the board members to speak into the mic. Thank you. Go ahead, Kevin.
Next, I would like to call up members of the Sports Booster Club. They would like to do a presentation for the board. I see that Shelley is here.
Good evening. The Booster Club, unfortunately, would like to do their formal presentation in July because Mr. Graybeck is not able to be here, and out of respect for him and it being he being the principal of the school, it would be nice for him to be able to be here. But in the interim, I would like to just give you a brief overview of what's going on with the Booster Club, what our intent is, and basically what our thoughts are and what has come out of our meetings. We formally now have a committee of folks who have come together and have their positions in place, and committee chairs and secretary, treasurer, et cetera. So that seems to make things a little more legit moving forward. We have formulated some fundraising efforts, and the only challenges that we see moving forward is there are some other groups that do a lot of fundraising for our district, and that would be the PTA, the foundation, and then you have in the middle school, the seventh grade class does the penny auction and some other fundraising efforts to raise money for that grade moving into eighth grade so that they can have a celebration of ending their middle school years. So that we have to be very cognizant of that. That being said, we just would like the board to reconsider. I know in place right now it's a 25%, the board would absorb 25%, and they would like the parents to absorb 75%. And they will talk more on this on the July 25th meeting in regard to findings in other districts. But it just seems a little bit out of line, and in terms of fundraising efforts, I don't know if the board is privy to doing a lot of fundraising, but I can give you a background on what I have done and the time and effort required, in raising funds and being an associate for the Baltimore Symphony, being part of Susan G. Komen Rally for the Cure for 14 years, Catholic schools, all those different types of of organizations require a lot of time and effort, but it's very easy to raise money for cancer. You have a group of folks who are in line with Catholic education, and the Baltimore Symphony certainly attracts a certain group of people who are willing to donate great funds. However, middle school sports for a public school is going to provide, it's going to take on a whole different challenge. And I think to have us raise the amount of money to help offset the costs for the families is going to unfortunately interfere with the PTA and the foundation, and we really just don't want to do that. So if the board could please entertain absorbing more costs. I know we have a budget that's been approved. We have school choice, which I'm sure that's maybe a lot of monies. But if we can move back, if the intent of the board is to move back to where we were a year ago, perhaps maybe we can put middle school sports back to where they were. So moving forward, we'd like to do a formal presentation in the July meeting and go from there. But in the meantime, if you could please consider a larger absorption of funds, we would really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So there will be a formal presentation to the board on the 25th of July?
Right. We'll have our fundraising efforts in place as to what we plan to do throughout the year and our projection on how much monies we anticipate on raising, and basically what other districts are doing as well, and how they have worked with their middle school booster clubs in partnership for the kids, and perhaps even an activity fee-based program as well.
Okay. One question before you leave. What sports were eliminated this past school year during 2010-2011?
The ones that didn't run, Mr. Dinkoff, girls soccer, boys and girls lacrosse, were
softball.
All did not run this year.
So three different sports then?
Four lacrosse, boys and girls.
Okay.
But to also give you a broader overview, it wasn't just the sports that were impacted at the middle school level. It was also art clubs that run after school, the music department. I mean, if students wanted to participate in the jazz band or the choral, I don't know the name of the course that they participated in, they had to pay a fee to participate in that. So it affected them. Unfortunately, we live in Hunterdon and County. This is not the mecca of activities for middle school kids to partake in. And their school really, I mean, that was the precept of this building being built, is to go back to the community and for the young people to be able to enjoy it and use what we've built here. It's wonderful for them. So hopefully we can keep moving in that direction.
Okay, thank you very much.
At this time, I'd like to call up Mrs. Mary McLaughlin, Director of Special Services. She's going to update the board on the resolution put before you under Finance Facilities for the American Recovery Reinvestment Act of 2009.